Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Michael.
And this is David.
We're here today at the church. Today's November the 13th.
2022.
And yesterday we had us a wedding.
Yes, and that's what I think we should talk about just a little bit.
Yeah.
I think so. Coy, your oldest son, married the love of his life, Chiquita, yesterday.
Yep.
Let's talk about, Coy's your oldest son, and tell me what was that like?
Well,
being, you've raised him, and he's made a man. He's got his degree. He's got him a job, and now he's got a wife. You know, my kids are not to that point yet. So what did that feel like yesterday?
Yesterday was pretty much a blur.
Yeah, I knew it would be for you.
But the feelings, I think that you're asking about, that really hit me when he moved out and got into his own house.
Right.
That was the time that it hit me the hardest.
Right.
Because you spend all this time with them and making sure that they're doing the right things, and they go off to college and start learning their own ways, and but when he bought that house, it was, I'm done.
Yeah.
and it was almost, I guarantee you, if I didn't have Dixie there, it would be,
yeah,
it'd be tough.
I bet. Tell everybody how you named your son, your oldest son.
Well, this goes way back to college. Me and you riding to Valdosta back in two from Tifton to Valdosta. We won't mention,
for Bible study, probably.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, you had planned. I know that you said that you was going to name your son Coy. Well, after we got down to Valdosta and you met this guy that lived in the apartments where our girlfriends lived, you swore that off. You swore it off. And we were riding back, and I said, well, if you're not, I'm going to. But, and there's more to it than just that, because Grandpa called the cows that way. Yeah, every time we'd come up and we'd want to see the cows in the back of the field, he'd call them up.
That's right.
And when he wanted to feed them, he'd call them up, Coy, Coy, Coy.
That's right. That's how he would get them to gather, and they would always gather. It was pretty neat to see that, how the entire herd, they could be out of sight. They could be down in the branch. And when Grandpa got ready for them to come up to the barn, he would call them like that.
Yeah.
And they come would come. They, every one of them would come.
Yep. But it also goes back living in Nichols. Coy was, my two best friends up there was Corey Merritt and Little Van Street.
Right.
So it kind of went along with Coy.
Yeah.
And his middle name's Van.
That's right.
So,
which is grandfather's name.
His grandfather's name. So, my two best friends' names are incorporated in that. And then, Grandpa's the way he called the cows.
Mm-hmm.
But, I didn't know if you ever remembered swearing that name off.
I vaguely remember it. A lot of Bible studying at that time.
Hey.
But that is that, what is neat about that is I named my son Jack after Grandpa too, Jackson. And it says a lot that he was our hero.
Right. You know,
our grandpa Jack was one of our heroes.
Yes. But it, you know, going back to the wedding, you know, it being a blur, it was I mainly wanted to make sure everyone had the best time and make sure that Chloe and Chiquita wasn't stressed out. And, you know, Chloe was pretty stressed out.
Well,
planning that whole thing.
He did a great job.
Yeah.
You and Dixie and Robin and Dick. I mean, everybody that had anything to do with it. I know Candy helped.
Yeah.
The decorating and stuff. It was beautiful. I wish everybody could have been there. I wish, you know, you had plenty of food for everybody.
We sure did.
And I know Chiquita's family helped a lot too. I know that.
Yeah.
And everybody worked together. It was really a nice ceremony. Keith did a good job.
Yep. Said the right words. And I was praying the whole time sitting there on that front row bench that the bench wouldn't break or that somebody wasn't fixing to fall out.
Right.
But I know that those groomsmen, they had a good time.
Yes.
Before the wedding, Logan, Karen, you are your daddy made over.
Yeah, he really is. He has a lot.
He is
a lot of his daddy in him.
He is too funny.
Yeah.
And I know Evan, he turned loose a little bit last night and was talking, and, you know, and all of us buddies got together.
Yeah. It was good to see old friends.
Stacy, Harley, Steven, Evan, who am I leaving out? You and me. But
that was the first time that all of us had got together in years.
Yeah.
It's sad to say, but
we got our own lives. You know,
everybody's doing their own thing and raising kids.
That's
it. But it was really good to be with everybody.
Yeah.
Our aunts looked great. They really did. And I think they all enjoyed it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think they did. I know it was a blur to you because you were busy the whole time.
But I did see the picture that Aunt Donna posted on Facebook of the aunts with Austin.
Mm-hmm. Well, they took one by themselves, but Austin, as you know, he likes to take over, so so he had to get his picture taken with him as well.
But that was awesome.
It was. It's a great picture.
And that was a beautiful venue that we were at under the oaks up there in Alma. But, you know, I could picture, you know, having something like that around here. a farm. It was a farm atmosphere, but it was, you know, it was beautiful out there, rolling hills and everything. But same place Larley got married. And what I liked was that Coy and Chiquita wanted to have the cakes from the aunts.
Yeah.
Like Laura Lee did. You know, that means a lot. That's passing on, you know. Yeah. And there wasn't no cakes left.
No, there wasn't. Maybe just a little bit. I know Minette got some and I think it's gone now. But
Dixie got her slices, and
that's one thing that all of our aunts got from our grandmother is how they know how to cook.
That's right.
And they, you know, something like that special to them, making it for a wedding. A wedding is a special event to us and should be. And they take pride in their work, and we love it. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know that Mama knows how much I appreciate her.
Yeah.
Her back is wore out.
I bet it is.
She's been working for a couple months now.
Mm-hmm.
The dress, the cakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, just making sure that Coy and Chiquita got what they wanted. And I'm very thankful to my mama for that.
That's right.
And I'm very thankful to all my aunts for participating in.
And that's the legacy. That's part of the legacy of what they'll hand down. And I hope it continues, you know, little traditions like that. I hope they continue into the future.
Yeah, well, it's up to us to make it happen.
Yeah.
We've got to be there for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it reminds me, Jackson still calls me Uncle Michael. You know, we are like brothers, and, you know, it's like that's the way our family is.
Mm-hmm.
Is he's my nephew, but he still calls me uncle.
Right.
No, he's
technically your cousin.
A cousin, right. Yeah. I misspoke there. But
I don't know how that works. You know, some people call it first cousin once removed and all of that. And I think that's goes back to our family being so big, we never learned the steps. You were a cousin, you were a cousin.
Yeah.
And if you were an older cousin,
you're an uncle.
You're an uncle or an aunt. That's just the way it was and still is.
Right.
But it was great. And I think that if we didn't bring up Pierce and his speech last night, that would be a mistake on our part, because we call him Peanut. He's always been Peanut to us. When he was little, he was tiny, and we just called him Peanut. Well, now Peanut's what, 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah.
I mean, he's huge, but he's still Peanut to us.
That's right.
But he's not one that you would think would be a public speaker, but I think he did a great job last night.
He did.
And he, you could see and you could hear and feel the love that he has for his brother and his new sister.
Yeah, definitely. They've been a, like he said, they've been a big part of his growing up, you know, with Coy. He looked up to Coy, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
But when I couldn't give him an answer, Coy could.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of difficult times there with the divorce that I went through, and it wasn't just, I never tried to separate them
right
from their mom. And I always encouraged them to go be with her, but sometimes he couldn't make himself. He just didn't want to sometimes.
Yeah.
And I couldn't answer why you feel like that.
Right.
And Coy would kind of help him out.
Yeah, Coy was there because he was going through the same thing.
That's right.
And he was older, more mature.
And it, yeah. And he brought Peanut along. But Peanut, good gracious, what a speech. he had the crowd laughing. And then he really showed his heart there at the end. But I never expected him to get through it. He was so proud of it. He said, he come to me Thursday and said, "Daddy, I need you to read something. This is going to be my speech. I want you to make sure that I'm not messing up." And I said, "Who wrote this for you?"
Well, I think, I don't mean this ugly, but I think that was the question of the night. How many folks helped Peanut write a speech?
He said, "Daddy, I woke up at 9 o'clock with words, and I just typed them out." And I said, "Son, you sure you're not borrowing this from somebody else?" He said, "No, this is what I had. This is what I had on my heart." And I, you know, I didn't argue with it.
Right? You didn't edit it.
No, the only
anybody
thing
I heard it knows it was not edited. But it was Peanut, and it was good. He did a good job.
And the last part, the only thing that I did edit was I had to say, you know, you want to include everybody in, you know, with a toast to them, and he added that at the end. So, but yeah, that was that was a great, great time.
Yeah.
Lots of friends, lots of family. Even got to see, you know, Van and Carrie, Kevis and Wanda, and Sydney and Sam and Steve, and, you know, my ex-in-laws, you know. And
yeah, but they're still family.
That's right. And that's another thing, that street family is just like ours.
Yeah.
You know, they're tight-knit, close, affectionate. You know, they show their feelings.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's hard not to be able to go see them sometimes and talk to them. But, you know, Van says, you come up here anytime and talk, we'll talk.
Yeah. And they've always been there for you boys. I know that.
Yeah.
Looking back, you know, birthday parties and whatever else was going on, they were always.
Yeah, Garrett. Always
there.
Garrett, he was in the wedding party, and Hannah was too. They escorted each other out.
It was hard. You know, I can remember them, but what I remember them being little
at my wedding.
Yeah, tiny.
Running around.
Tiny things. And now they're grown up.
Yeah. Yeah. Garrett's got one of his own now, a little boy, and he's a newbie.
Yeah.
It was hard for them to leave the baby at home to come to the wedding. But
they did, and they made it through it.
Yeah. But, yeah, good night.
Yeah, it really was. Y'all did a great job.
What else you want to hit on?
Well, no, I know that there was a lot of our family that couldn't make it, and that's the thing about having a big family is there's always every function that we have, there's folks that are busy. They have a lot going on, and it would be great to see everybody, but then I don't know if there's a venue in South Georgia that could hold all of us.
Oh, we got one right here.
Yeah, one day. I do. I feel like that. I feel like in the future, there'll be more things here on our farm. Our farm church or church farm. It's kind of neat. You live in between the farmhouse and the church house.
Yeah.
And
on the hill.
Yeah.
And I'll be glad to put a stage in my front yard.
Right.
But no, I was talking with Keith the other day about, you know, putting a barbecue pit up there between here and the house. That way we could use the water from up there, my place, and electricity if we needed to, or if we, you know, whatever we need to do there. But we're really thinking about it, putting a pole barn up there with a smoke pit and screened-in porch to eat on. But, you know, that could be the start of the.
Yeah, and I said this at Uncle Larry's funeral, but I really feel this. I feel like, you know, the barbecue pit, and I mean, we've talked about a pole barn, or, you know, being from the Church of God, Tabernacle, that was right. What, you know, we grew up going to the Tabernacle for what they call camp meeting every year. And I really feel like maybe in the future that's what we'll have here, is something like that.
Right. Well, yeah, we was that venue last night, that openness of that building kind of reminded me of the Tifton campus. You know, something about it brought those memories back. And I can remember going to camp over there with you, and I can't remember all, but I do remember you being there with me. And then earlier this week, me and Uncle Sammy was talking, and one of his friends come by to eat with him. And it was the leader of the Church of God. He handled that over there. I can't remember his name right off.
Right. One of the overseers or something.
Was it Ron?
Man, don't ask me. I'm terrible.
You would remember the name if I say it. But because I did remember when he said the name, I said, that was Church of God.
Right.
You know, back in the day. And he said, yeah. And it's one of those names that you would remember.
Right. I remember camp meeting as a lot of people would be at camp meeting. And because we went to the Blackshear Church of God, and it wasn't all of our family, but there was a lot of our family and our parents' cousins that went to that church. And so when we all got together, it was a family thing. And I can remember our family going and singing at camp meeting one year.
I do remember being on stage and up
there. I remember Uncle Sammy had a van. And I don't know how many kids we had in that van, but I can still remember piling in that thing and piling out when we got there to sing. And we were so little, and I was such a bad singer that I would be on the back row. But I remember looking at all of those people and thinking, holy cow, there's a lot of folks here.
Yeah. But it kind of prepared us for where we're at in this moment right now. You know, we're not really afraid to get in front of a microphone and talk. And, you know, once you do it, you kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
And you build up your courage. So, David, we've talked about the wedding.
Mm-hmm. It was a great event.
Yeah. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think I do. You know, we try to keep this light, and we try to keep it a little bit funny. But there are times when the Lord will lay something on us that we feel like we need to share.
Definitely.
And this is one of them times that I feel like the Lord wants me to share this with people. A few months ago, I had a dream, and it was a dream that is unlike other dreams. It's a dream that's so clear in your spirit, you know it's almost real. In this dream, everybody that knows me knows that I grew up on the farm, and I grew up under Grandpa and Uncle Terry. And I've worked 29 years for the Department of Agriculture, and I'm in agriculture. I grew up in it. I've been in it my whole life. So there's things that occur to me sometimes through this agriculture. God talks to me. And this dream, like I said, it was so real. It was me and my daddy and my son were standing in a field, and we were walking the field. We were looking over the crop, and it was a glorious crop. It was watermelons. And they were big, prettiest watermelons that I've ever seen. Actually, they were better than any watermelon that I've ever seen. Some of the watermelons were as big as hay bales. And clear as day, 7 buses came into the field. What we were doing was we were looking over the crop, me and Daddy and Jackson. And we were looking to see, you know, if we were gonna have a good crop, right? And while these 7 buses are pulling up, it's 7 buses of workers that are coming to harvest. Well, in commercial vegetable crops, usually you have marketers that they have to market this stuff way before it's sold. Well, way before it's harvested, it needs to be sold because It's perishable.
That's right.
And it can't see it. You know, when they pick it, it needs to be packed and shipped to the wherever it's going to be sold. So a lot of times they'll send a guy, let's call him the marketer, to kind of look it over and give a price, and then he gives a go-ahead to the workers, and they go to work. All right. In this dream, the marketer pulls up. He gets out of his truck, and he's walking in the field, and we can hear what he's saying. He's saying, "You're not going to believe this field of watermelons. They're the best looking watermelons I've ever seen." And we were kind of giddy, you know. We were like, "Oh yeah, this is gonna be good." Well, he walks up to one of those watermelons as big as a hay bale, and he reaches his hand in. And you're thinking, he reaches his hand into a watermelon. I told y'all it was a dream, so there's a little bit of... All right, he reaches his hand in this watermelon, and what he pulls out is green, when you expect it's going to be red, right? You think, something's going on. Something's not right. And my daddy, he's a little antsy about it, and he said, "Ma'am, what's going on?" And it disturbed me so much that I woke up from the dream. And it bothered me. For a while, I didn't know what the dream meant. I didn't, you know, the Lord gives us dreams sometimes. Sometimes we know exactly what it means, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have to pray about it, and we have to read the Bible and let the Lord tell us later what it was he's trying to get across to us. All right. What the Lord told me was, "David, there's a harvest coming. And it's not for you. It's not for your daddy. It's not for Jackson. It's for all of the generations. It's for everybody." Okay? That was why we were all three there. He said the crop, the yield, the harvest is going to be bigger than what you can imagine, right? What is he talking about? He's talking about this church. He's talking about his church. He's talking about his family. And people are going to start coming to God.
His bride.
They are. And the harvest is coming. It's coming soon. We're there. We're right on the verge. We're not quite ripe yet. We're not quite ripe. We're right there. But it's just not yet. All right. Fast forward to a couple of weeks ago. One of our uncles is having a spell. All right. He had respiratory issues. And I'm not a doctor, so I can't talk about doctor stuff. But our uncle, he passed out, and our aunt was pretty upset, and thank God that one of our cousins was there to help. She had been trained. She knew what she was doing. It was in her field of expertise. And like I said, thank God that she happened to be there to help. And our uncle made it to the hospital, okay? And he got the help, and he's doing much better today. But the next morning in the hospital, he looks at our aunt, and he's upset. And she's like, "What's the matter?" And he said, "I saw your brother walking the fields. And he put his hand on my shoulder and said, "You've got to go back. It's not time. You're not ready." All right. I believe that that was the message, not only to our uncle or our aunt, but to us. And I'm talking about David. I'm talking about Michael and Keith and everybody else. You can think on these things and you can pray about it, and God will tell you what it is you need to hear from this, from these dreams, right? I'm going to tell you another story real quick. When I was little, I passed out. I got knocked out. I don't even think my mama knows this. Right around fifth grade, I got knocked out on the playground. And I had, I guess what you would call a seizure. I don't know, I wasn't there.
I get it.
They said I was shaking. They said I woke up, I was crying. I've never told anybody this ever in my life. But while I was out, I was in a place, okay? I was in a field, and I wasn't alone. I was with, I'm convinced it was my great-grandpa Williams. Because I only knew him, he only knew me. I was a year old when he died. So in fifth grade, I had this accident on the playground, and I'm knocked out cold. And while I'm with him, while I'm there in this field, it was peaceful. I felt like I was at home. I knew I wasn't, but I felt like I was at home. Okay? So I believe in these dreams. I they're real to me. And some people say, you're weird. That's fine. I'll take it. I believe it. I just believe it. Okay? So when our uncle says that our other uncle is walking these fields, to me, in agriculture, they'll tell you there's technology today. It's tremendous technology that farmers are utilizing to analyze the crops. They can even use drones to fly over these big fields, and they can pinpoint a bad spot in the field that needs to be treated for pests, diseases, or insects. All right? But even these scientists will tell you there's not a better way to know what's going on in your field than to walk the field.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you walk your fields, you see with your own eyes exactly what's going on in that field. Okay? All my life, I can remember my grandfather and my Uncle Terry walking these fields. They would walk. Sometimes they were probably just trying to clear their head. Sometimes they might have wanted to get away from all them youngins running around. But they were walking these fields, and they were looking. They were looking over their crop. And what that's telling me is, yes, there's a harvest coming, but we're not to sit back and expect it's just going to happen. We are supposed to walk these fields. We are supposed to tend to the harvest. All right? How do we do that?
That's each one of us.
It's every one of us. How do we do that? I've already said that the field is his church. We, the family, everybody, we're part of this harvest. How do we walk the fields? We pick up our phone and we call. We
call our cousins. We call our aunts and uncles. We call our brothers and sisters, and we let them know how we're feeling, and we check on them.
We're checking on them.
We're not trying to keep them in line.
Nope.
We're just checking on them.
We're loving them.
Loving them.
We're
right.
Letting them know.
Yeah.
We love you. We're all in this. We're all in this together. And it's just so real to me. I know, like I said, I'm getting on to me. because there's cousins that I haven't talked to in years. There's cousins that I don't get to see as often as I'd love to see them. But I've got to do better at getting out and seeing them. I've got to do better. I mean, and the technology, everybody picks on me because I'm not the technology guy.
That's right.
I'm not. I don't know. For some whatever reason, I'm just not in love with the technology. But
he don't update his phone.
Never. Never. And the battery's so bad till I have to almost leave it on charger all the time.
But if you do that update, it'd probably make your battery better.
I don't know. Maybe. But I feel it in my spirit that we need to do a better job talking to each other, letting each other know, hey, I'm here. I may not have the answer that you need, but I can help you find it.
That's right.
I can help you. And here's the thing. If you hear this and you're thinking, I don't know, God's never told me that, I'm going to challenge you. The next time you're in your vehicle by yourself, ask God. Say, God, is there somebody out there that I need to talk to? Just do it. And I
somebody will come to your mind.
Somebody. He's going to put somebody on your heart.
That's right.
And you say, and it might scare you and say, oh, man.
And when you call them, you'll know exactly why.
It's going to come out, right? And you'll say, man, I don't know. I'm not ready. I'm not a preacher. I can't preach to them. It ain't about that.
No, it ain't about preaching. It's
about loving
them.
Yeah. It's about love. It's about showing them, hey, we're in this together. I love you. And
can't wait to see you again.
Yeah. And like I said, we're not trying to say, hey, look at us, we're better. No, we're not. Everybody that knows us knows we're not better than anybody else. Right.
When's the last time we've called somebody just to check on them ourselves, you know? Or when did anybody listening to it, when's the last time we called you?
Yeah, to get ready. Cause,
the phones are fixing to start calling.
I'm
going to
start calling. I know I am. I'm going to start checking in with people more because I do love them and I do miss them. And you know, I do pray for them, even though I don't talk to them. I'm going to start talking to them a lot better, a lot more.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be family. I'm talking about people you work with. I'm talking about people you see at the grocery store.
He'll put it on your heart who you need to call.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All you've got to do is ask, and you better be ready because he's going to put somebody on your heart.
Well, that's pretty much the way he woke me up. While I was driving back to work one day, I was just sitting there talking to him, you know, just out of the, what do I need to do? Am I doing this wrong? Am I doing it the way you want me to? And he pulled me over on the side of the road, tears flowing, and it turned me around to go back to the house. And the rest is, you know, it's showing up now.
Mm-hmm.
But the verse that he put on my heart that day was, put on your armor. That was what he told me, was put on your armor. I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did research. I went into the Bible and I looked up the scripture and found it and read through it. I read it over and over and over. And you put on your whole armor of God. And, you know, I went through and I've, you know, trying to figure out each piece of the armor. But, you know, that challenge that you did reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, has everybody got their armor on? And, you know, that's what we can check for. Mm-hmm. Not challenging them to put it on, but, you know, what's the Bible say? What's the Bible say about that? Let's, you know, put on our whole armor of God and go forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and talking about Uncle Terry, it was probably 3 or 4 weeks before he passed. I was out here on the tractor, and I looked up, and he was walking the field. I saw him coming from the water hole on his side, and he walked across the field and then through the church and out to where I was. And, you know, I think back, and it was just, it was a shift for me, because I can't ever remember getting off the tractor for anybody. I remember Grandpa getting off the tractor. I remember almost throwing Grandpa off the tractor because he told me to let out the clutch, and I did. Snatched my foot off of it, about threw him off. But, you know, Uncle Terry getting off the tractor, and I got off the tractor, and we stood there, and we just talked. Mm-hmm. But he was checking. He was tending to what we're talking about now.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I know that's what he was doing that day, walking the fields. Mm-hmm. There was no crops.
That's right.
I mean, I could tell you there was no crops in these fields at that time. He was coming over
to check your crop.
He was checking to see what I was, where my head was.
That's right.
And then when I found out he had passed, that was the first thing that popped in my head. Was that day being on the tractor and watching him walk across. And that has vividly stuck in my mind since that day.
Well, his biggest impact on me was he didn't have to say a word. He never said a word. And I can tell you that he spoke to me, and it got my attention
mm-hmm.
without saying a word. Mm-hmm. And I had my cousin Jamie sitting right beside me mm-hmm. on one side. I think my brother was sitting over on the other side. I can't remember exactly who was sitting on my right side, but it's when we were pallbearers
mm-hmm.
at the funeral. And he didn't have to say nothing that day.
Mm-mm. Right.
But I wanted to turn my life around and be what he was to me, to somebody else.
Right.
I wanted to be that to somebody else.
Yeah.
And
that's why Uncle Terry was great at it. There's others in the family that are great at it too. Grandma and Grandpa were awesome at it. You talk about them not talking. I can remember days working with them that, I mean, we would work for hours and we wouldn't say anything because I knew what I was doing. They knew what they were doing, and we just did the work and didn't really have to talk. Grandpa was like that, and Uncle Terry was like that. There was times where they were very talkative, and they said a lot. It is funny, and right after Uncle Terry passed, I've shared the dream I had in church. I had a dream where me and Uncle Terry and Grandpa were walking together. And it was one of them dreams. I knew that I wasn't supposed to be with them at that time. And I wanted them to say something to me so bad. It bothered me so much that I woke up from that dream thinking, why was I walking with Uncle Terry and Grandpa and they didn't say anything to me? I wanted them so much to say something, but they didn't say a word. We just kept walking. And it came to me later. Those two said everything to me that I needed to hear from them while they were here.
Right.
Right? There was nothing that they needed to say. They said it all, and that's another thing. I don't want to leave something unsaid. I want people to say that about me after I'm gone. Is I know David loved me. I know that David cared. Mm-hmm. Because that's how they were, and that's how, you know, I want to be.
All right. So you got anything else for tonight? All right. Well, just we'll end the show here, and Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yes.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Be here on Thursday.
Thursday.
Bring a dish that you want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
We should have a tent up at church.
If you don't have anything to bring, come.
Bring somebody with you.
Bring somebody, or tell a friend that might not be as fortunate as you, and you know, let us share with them. They can share in fellowship, and they can also share at the table with us. But anyway, y'all have a good night.
See ya.
See ya.